This morning. We started here last week. Let's come back to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a little mini couple messages. Mini, and that my messages are not mini. That's a wrong description. I understand that. Anyways, but a short, brief time looking at missions and how it affects us and how what's our involvement and all those kinds of things. Remember last week we looked at the beginning of chapter 3 and saw that we all have a role to play. The emphasis, as you come down to verse 6 of chapter 3, I've planted, Paul said. Paul, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. As we serve the Lord in this place and as we strive to help the Word of God go out from this place and support those that are taking it around the world, we have a role to play. It's different. In this situation in Corinth, Paul was the one that, in a sense, put the seed in the ground, got it started. Apollos came along, teacher of God's word, watered it. But who was really doing the work? God. God gave the increase. And yet God chose to have a planter and a waterer help with that process. I know that we live and we're surrounded by plants. Welcome to the Midwest. I remember early on when we'd moved to Wisconsin from Colorado. Dad grew up farming on eastern Colorado, and it's dry, arid on the eastern slopes, and you irrigate to try to get crops. And then I remember, so you try to get things to grow. And I remember as I grew up and then was doing farming work myself here in this area and going back and seeing my uncle's farm and just shaking my head. This poor guy, he does everything he can just to get the plants to grow. And we're trying to get rid of all this stuff. In the Midwest, it's like everything's green, all right? I don't remember it was one of my dad's brothers or something commenting when they came back to visit. It's like everything's green around here. Welcome to the Midwest, all right? This is God's land, all right? that's amazing. And yet still, with all of that around us, stop and consider, I am not a guy with a green thumb. We were discussing in our house the other day. I guess maybe God has allowed me, part of my gifting is to keep animals alive. Where's Eric Winook? Is he in here today right now? Anyways, he wants to hide. So you know they had this, shower for now his son who's married. You know, back in August there was this shower and they had it out here in the pavilion. And you know, Carrie has all these wonderful creative ideas on how to decorate. So every table out there had goldfish, or little feeder fish, you know, well, Eric thought he was funny, and he gave my son and daughter a goldfish. And he said, Pastor, it's okay. And it's like, I've been down this route before. I have four older kids, you know, anyways. And anyways, it's okay, Pastor. Yeah, they'll die in a couple days. Well, one did. The other one's still swimming back at my house. we went to Michigan this week. And there was, my kids aren't in here, so I can tell you, all right? There was this discussion before we left, all right? Can the fish become dog food? Anyways, and no, it's still swimming back in my house. Never mind, all right, so it's still there. Anyways, okay. I guess I keep animals alive. I don't keep plants alive really well. It seems like, you know, house plants or whatever. I'm grateful for my wife who has that knack, that green thumb. My thumb is brown. Anyway. But it seems like I can keep animals alive. Anyways, isn't it still just absolutely amazing? You put this seed in the ground, and you plant it, and you throw some water on it, and it grows. How does that happen? I know that scientists can tell you everything about it, but still, isn't that kind of a miracle? That's just amazing. All right. So there's the illustration that Paul said, we're part of the process, and yet still God. Still God's doing it. Now, we need to be tools in God's hand so that still God can work. Remember when Jesus was on his triumphal entry and the enemies, the Sadducees, Pharisees, the Sanhedrin were like, tell your disciples to stop saying this, that you're the Son of God, all right? And Jesus said, if they stopped, the stones would cry out. And yet, God has chosen to use you in his vast, wise, purposeful plan. He's chosen to use you in his harvest field. You know, you're not much more than a rock. Because God could use rocks, and he's chosen not to. He's chosen to use you. And that, don't, as you are used by the Lord, does it ever dawn on you, or did you ever stop and say, God, this is amazing that you would use this marred, this corrupt, this crazy, this weird vessel, and yet you've chosen, because it brings glory to your name, to use me. And let's be about it. Let's be about planting and watering. Now, that's the first half of the story. Now we come to really a strong theological section. Not that there wasn't theology in that section, but a section that we often, unfortunately, separate from its context. And it stands alone, I understand, and there's value to that. But as we start thinking about the judgment seat of Christ, when we pull it out of this passage, I think we lose some of its value and worth. Do you realize that I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account of my life about how I've done my work of planting or watering, specifically in and through the ministry of the church that I'm in? Happens to be here, Heritage Baptist Church. God's going to ask you about how you helped. What did you do to help Heritage Baptist Church grow? Were you providing the church, not in a, this is a picture sense, but were you providing gold, silver, precious stone? Or were you just wood, hay, stubble? Now, I realize that often when we preach this passage by itself, and there's good application, you know, is my life just worthless, no value? But when I understand this passage in its context about what's going on at the church at Corinth, that now Paul takes the picture from planting and watering, you're God's husbandry, we'll see in just a second, and then he says you're God's building. And it really matters how you build the church. And the reality is the work of missions, and here, this is why I say this is such a deep theological passage. One of our policies at Heritage Baptist Church is, in our support of mission work, is we want the person that we're supporting to be not indirectly, but directly tied to the work of planting churches, of getting a church going. Why? Is it because we're picky and we're not nice to all the people that, you know, maybe have a hospital out there or build a compound out there and try to share the gospel in different ways but aren't connected directly to a church? Are we just being mean to them? No. One of the reasons is for this very passage right here. Now, those of you that have been here for a while, we've walked through the book of Acts. What happened when believers obeyed the Great Commission? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. What happened in the history of that first century when they did that? Churches. That's what happened. You can't read the book of Acts without seeing that. And so here's Paul, and if I can put it this way, the book of 1 Corinthians is right smack dab in the middle of that church planting work. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians after his second missionary journey. Sometime in the midst of all that, in a sense, the New Testament is still being lived out the moment that he writes this. And he's wanting the Corinthians to know. It's not just Paul and Apollos, but we all are to be builders of our local church, our assembly, because one day we're going to give an account on how we helped build. So I'm going to give you the invitation before we give the message, and then we'll give the message and come back to the invitation, right? So really the question today is how are you, what are you doing to build Heritage Baptist Church? And we say, well, I'm only a guest here. Well, fine, listen in. And why don't you come join us and get a part of the great work that goes on here? Now, this affects missions as well. Because remember, the work of the Great Commission is a worldwide mission, not just a local mission. So, yes, we are to be about what happens right here. And this is our home. And this is where we're living. And this is where we acted out. And you'll see it in the passage. Paul says you are to be building, all right? But as I see the broad picture of the New Testament as well, we, as Heritage Baptist Church, are also to be directly, not indirectly, engaged in helping churches be established globally around the world. And one of the reasons we're having these Sundays, you remember, normally we do it all in a half a week, but because of the crusade and rejoicing over that, we're having it on a few Sundays, and that's okay. This gives your pastor plenty of time to preach about missions, right? Hang in there, right? We need to be directly involved in what goes on beyond Roscoe and Rockton, in seeing the gospel go forth, in following God's command that the gospel go around the world to every creature. And we need to be directly engaged in that. Okay, there's your background. There's kind of your plea. Now let's look at the passage and walk through it together, all right? Verse number 9. For we are, Paul and Apollos, and by this moment, the Corinthians, for we are laborers together with God. Yeah, we already explained that. Ye, you Corinthians, it's talking specifically to the church, ye are God's husbandry. Oh, that's the illustration that he already used. Ye are God's husbandry. You know, Paul planted, Apollos watered. There's a plant work going on. And now here's the switch, all right, in verse 9. Ye are God's husbandry. But let me also say, ye are God's building. So as we walk through the church picture here today, we see, first of all, this building. This building is the church. Ye, talking about the Corinthians. Ye are God's building. God's at work. Now, the word here that he uses for building is actually a verb. If we could put it this way, ye are in the process of being built. And ye are to be about building. We could really, at the front of our church here today, put up a under construction sign. Even though there's not anything at the moment being physically constructed here. But there should be. In fact, what we're doing right now is a part of this construction work. Lord willing, today will be a better church than when we walked in the door. And by the way, that process is ongoing. Until the Lord comes, I'll pray, until the Lord comes, may Heritage Baptist Church stand faithful and be strong. And may that be true. May we be always in the process of growing and building. So you say, Pastor, what does that mean by building? Well, he's going to explain in a minute. But what do we often think? We think of adding, don't we? And that's a part of the process. You know, it's getting a little tight in here. We're filling up the pews. Thank you for those of you that are sitting near the middle of the pews. That's nice of you. These big, long, yes, Steve, all right. Let's all say thank you to Steve. He's sitting right on, anyways, he raised his hand. That's me. I hope the seat's comfortable. The nice thing about sitting at the middle of the pews is the cushion's not worn out there yet. All right, it's those of you on the outside edge, just sorry. You're sitting on just basically cloth and wood. All right, there you go. Anyway, so there you go. So now you know that the premium seats are near the middle. All right, but so here we go. One day maybe God, by God's grace and help, we'll add to the structure. We'll add to it and build something bigger so we can have more room and so forth. But the process of building is not just adding. It's beautifying. What goes on here today, Lord willing, we may not, by God's grace, maybe we'll add a soul or two. But that's only a part of the process. You're supposed to be growing in the Lord and becoming a more beautiful planter or waterer, a more beautiful part of, a sturdier part of this church. Isn't that something? That's a part of the building. This is a process. We're under construction. Let me be very personal. Lord willing, by the end of the day today, I will have taken steps of spiritual growth in my life too. God intends for that to happen right here among us as we fellowship, as we worship, as we listen and learn God's word. We're supposed to be growing. If you're walking in the door today to get your ears tickled, feel good about yourself, then you're here for the wrong reason. Now, Lord willing, as we do all that is happening around here, your heart will be convicted. And you say, no, wait a second, I've entered it for the wrong reason, I've been very selfish, whatever. Now I want to follow the Lord. Then there's been something accomplished. There's been some building going on. This building is God's. It's not any of ours. And he is in the process of making it. So we see this building under process, but we see the owner right there in verse 9 as well. The work of the church must be done through his power, through God's power, under his direction, according to his guidelines. We don't own this. I can't, as the pastor, the deacons can't, as deacons, the church, as the congregation, can't call the shots here. Do you understand that? God calls the shots, and he's kind of written it down right here for us to follow. So we better be good students of the Word of God, especially in this dispensation and time in the New Testament, as we dig in to understand everything that God expects of us as a church. This church belongs to God. We're called to follow him, to obey, to live it out in our life. I trust that everything we do here is in direct and utter submission to God's plans and purposes as recorded in his word. By the way, why do we call ourselves Baptists? Well, I could give you a history lesson, and if you come to my Sunday school class, we'll keep talking about it. They got their ears full today. Anyways, but the reason we do that is because Baptists are people of the book, the Bible. Even historically, historians from other denominations say, well, if you want to find the people of God that are just seemingly doggedly following just the Bible and that's it, you go find Baptists, and that there you'll find people that love the book and follow it. We can do no other here. That's why we, even on our marquee, on your bulletin, we're called Baptists, because we love the Bible. You say, well, the other people do too. Yes, but there's a lot of addition that's not the Bible that's been added in. If what we do here is outside of the parameters and teaching of God's word, may we forsake it. Does that make sense? If what we do here is outside of the parameters and direction of God's word, may we forsake it and get back to just doing God's word. All right? Now, so that means a lot of diligent study. Lots of truth of God's word in principial form. There's some thus saith the Lord's. But as I then take all those principles of God's word, the commands of God's word, and apply it to where we're at in this moment, in this time, that takes a lot of thinking and discussion, work through. That's why we stand really on the shoulders of men that have gone before us, taught us God's word, so that we can grow from there and keep on going and doing what's right. Really important. This church is not ours. None of us own it. This is God's building. And may we honor him and follow him until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. So we see the building, we see the owner. Now, let's go to verse 10. You say, Pastor, how long are you going to preach today? Hang on to your hats, all right? Verse 10. So, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as this is Paul speaking, as a wise master builder. So, in his role in this church at Corinth, he's saying, I'm the master builder. Now, that's not a term we normally use today. But if I could put it this way, he's the architect and general contractor all wrapped up in one. Occasionally we have that today, but we usually have those roles separate in our construction processes today. You have an architect that draws pictures, and then you have the general contractor that hates what the pictures are and says it should be done this way. Anyway, okay, somebody's laughing over here. You ever been there? It's like, Did this architect just get out of school? He has no... Anyways, okay, so we have these separate roles. No, Paul said, actually, my role at Corinth, and this is his role, we would call it even his apostolic role, that he was receiving revelation from the Lord. That revelation has been completed. We have the Word of God complete. So in that sense, we would not say a church planter today is a master builder. He's not necessarily the architect. The plans have already been drawn. But he is like a general contractor, following the rules, all right? Following the picture and getting going, all right? So Paul says, I'm the master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man, all right? So he's talking about what his work is, another built on it, maybe possibly even a reference directly to Apollos, but it's broader than that, and he makes it clear at the end of the verse. but let every man, all of us, Corinth, all right, those of you in the church of Corinth, you're one of the every man. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For, verse 11, these go together. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. I've already laid this foundation. This foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. So we have these builders in verse 10. Paul talks about himself. He was the wise, as it says, the master builder. He was building according to God's revelation to him as an apostle. He was the one that revealed much of the mystery of this dispensation, the dispensation of the church. The church is not the fulfillment of Israel's promises, folks. All the promises to Israel are still standing. You say, have they all been fulfilled? No, not yet. Hang on. It's going to get pretty glorious. We've got to go through some trouble first. Not us. We're going to escape God's wrath in the tribulation. Aren't you glad? Right? Right? We're out of here. The next thing we're waiting for is the rapture. Praise God. All right? All right? But the God's promises, there's going to be Daniel's 70th week is coming for Israel. And it'll affect the whole world. And then Christ will come back. We'll be riding on, not six white horses. All right? Thank you. All right. We'll be riding on horses, a multitude, coming back, watching him annihilate the kingdoms of this world and set up his kingdom, sitting on the throne of David. Israel will enjoy their kingdom, and we'll get to be a part of it, part of the administration. Talk about a good bureaucracy. There will be a good bureaucracy when you come to the millennial kingdom, and you're part of it, believer. Isn't that cool? All right. If you want to talk more about it, talk to Steve. Anyway, no. He likes to talk about those things, and talk to me. And I'll make sure Steve's right. There you go. So there we go. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. We have a wonderful future, don't we? All right. Now, God has said that there's something for this dispensation of time, and Paul was chosen by God to record a lot of that for us in the New Testament. He's the wise master builder. That's why we as New Testament believers love the New Testament, why we study it hard, because we're responsible to follow. All right? So he's built it, but that's not the end of the process. That's only the start. He laid the foundation, and now we, another is built. Now, it's very interesting, that word another. It's speaking of someone of the same kind. Not different than Paul, but in the same vein. Like Apollos, you go back, my history runs real quick back to the book of Acts. And Apollos comes, and remember Aquila and Priscilla? Helped train him up. He was just preaching John's baptism in Ephesus. And Paul and Priscilla are there. And they say, oh, wait a second. Come here, brother. All right. Believer, but didn't know much. And they teach him the way of the Lord, as it says there, more perfectly. They fill it out. They complete it. And what does Apollos do? Well, like you and I would want to do as a believer. He says, yes. Okay, I get it. He immediately starts seeing the Old Testament truths as they are fulfilled in Christ, and he declares Christ to the Jews, helps that church there grow. He goes on, he's an evangelist. He's another evangelist, somewhat like Paul. But the same heart to follow Christ. Another buildeth thereon. I think there can be some clear application here. This is not, in a church setting, this is not about you and I building our own little serfdoms or little tiny kingdoms and doing our own thing here. No, we need to have the same heartbeat, the same soul, the same mind. So God's asked me to shepherd you. You pray that your pastor shepherds you in the right direction, to help direct our steps. And then you come along and we follow the Lord together. Follow me as I follow Christ, all right? And we follow in Paul's pattern. We're of the same stuff, another. And then he goes on to that wonderful explanation. We, all of us, we are, every man is a builder. Everyone has a work to play, a job to do. Church, if I can put it in modern English vernacular, church is not a spectator sport. All right? What happens, not just me, but what happens up here on the platform is not the game, and you're cheering on out there. No. Everything that happens here, we need to be a part of. Now, what's your part right now? Okay, let's get it down to try to be really practical. What are you doing right now about building the church? Well, Lord willing, you're listening. You're taking, as James says, You're listening to the Word of God. You're slow to speak against the Word of God. Slow to get angry about it. When the Spirit, this is Ron's scripture reading today. When God brings conviction, don't say no to it, all right? Whether it's about salvation or growth, all right? And quick to hear. Quick to hear. So your role right now is to listen and learn. Lord willing, as I've declared the Word of God to you, you have things that you can grab on and become a better Christian. You become more beautiful. And because you're more beautiful, this church is more beautiful. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about us. All right. Now, but there's also all kinds of, you know, there's other people doing work right now besides me. And it's going on in the back. We've got junior church. We've got primary church happening. Thank God for a nursery. All right? And they're actually doing work, laboring for the Lord. But then there's work that work doesn't stop the moment we walk out these doors. Okay, phew, church work is done. I can go on to my life. No! I'm going to give an account before the Lord one day of how we've built this church. That generally means I've got work to do when we get out the door, too. Now, my role as pastor is a full-time role. I understand that. I need to give myself. My life is given over to the work of the ministry. But that doesn't mean you should just say, I can clock out and I'm done. No, your work to build this church, to bring souls in, to help disciple believers, that goes on during the week. You're part of that too. Some of you are gifted in certain ways, you need to be building. Every man has to do work. If you're a part of Heritage Baptist Church as a member and you have no role to play, come see me, because you're supposed to be playing a role. You're supposed to be having a part. There's something for you to do, all right? So take heed, it says. Take heed and examine. Let every man, end of verse 10, take heed how he buildeth thereon. I need to be careful the means and the manner of how we build here. It needs to be something that glorifies God. So now he goes on and starts this whole process, and he lays this groundwork. For the other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ. We see this process described of the building. Yes, we saw that the building is under construction. God owns the building. We are all builders here. And now he describes the process. And that foundation, verse 11, is Christ. He is first in time. He was the starter. I will build my church. Remember, Jesus said that in the Gospels? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He's the starter. He's the priority. He's the head. He's the foundation. The gospel of Christ and his teachings ought to be foundational to what goes on here. So, we teach and preach salvation. I could give you numerous references in the New Testament. We teach and preach biblical Bible believers' baptism. We teach and preach man's purpose. Why are you here? To glorify God. We talk about what's going to happen in the future, because God does. We talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What's his role in our lives and in the life of our church? There are many wrong teachings about that. And so we need to be careful to keep our foundation, keep on the foundation of Christ. We talk about spiritual warfare, the battles that we face on a daily basis against sin, self, and Satan. And I need to handle that rightly. We talk about how we're supposed to act here, church polity, how we get along as believers. We don't come to church just to feel good. We come to build on the foundation, Jesus Christ. As we see again in the book of Acts, what did they go about teaching? The apostles' doctrine. What the apostles who wrote the New Testament taught about Jesus Christ. There are a gazillion things that we as a church could get involved in. And they may not be bad. But we do have something we're supposed to do. And if we fail at that, we've failed. And that's building on Jesus Christ. So that means I must know God's word well. I must learn it. I must live it out. Help us live it out in our life. That's a part of the building process. Now, the superstructure follows the laying of the foundation. So let's go on. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, talking about Jesus Christ, don't forget, all right, who we're talking about, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It will be revealed, for the day, talking about the judgment here, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, before we jump into the building materials, all right, the gold, silver, and all those things, do know that you are to be about building on Jesus Christ. Our duty is to build the church in this day. And our duty is to make sure that we stay on the foundation, Jesus Christ, using right materials. All right, catch that again. This, as we talk about this process, before I talk about the materials, as Paul will explain here in just a second, let's not forget, what is my duty as a builder, as someone that's going to give an account on that day? Well, I need to build the church. And how is that lived out practically? Well, just as it was in Corinth. You need to be a part of building Heritage Baptist Church. There are times where we will see intersection of churches and helping. What does it normally look like in our day and age? Supporting missionaries. Folks, you have funds set aside for your pastor to go visit our missionaries and see how they're doing. That's a part of building the church. Helping them do it right, helping them be encouraged in the work of the ministry as I come alongside and just say amen to what they're doing, those kinds of things. All right, that's a part of the process. What we did at the crusade was a broader picture, but it was still us directly engaged in the work, not disconnected. If I can be real blunt for a minute, you say, you always say this. Well, thank you, okay. I do, because I want you to know. Doing the work of the ministry isn't just writing a check and sending it in the mail to somebody. All right? That's a disconnect, not a connect in and through your local church ministry. Now, are there missionaries or things that are good? Absolutely, I understand all that. But in this passage, Paul is pointing us back, get building the church that's on the foundation, Jesus Christ. And how do I know that our church is on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Because you're coming here, faithfully attending, learning, growing, and making sure that the pastor's preaching the truth of God's word right. That's a part of your job. If I would start teaching heresy or walking off the foundation, what should you do? Get rid of me. Seriously, that's a part of your role. We need to stay on the foundation. So we're building the church today, making sure we're on the right foundation. And now we come to the process of what are these materials that we use? Well, we obviously know as we looked at, I stopped at verse 13. Let's read in verse 14 and 15 as well. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So it's something that's eternally rewarded if I do this right, the building materials I use. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, so this is not speaking of your doing good works for the church so that you earn salvation. That's verse 15. All right, your soul is secure in Christ. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in. You're a part of the church. You're a part of we. Now, he wants you to live out that we in a local assembly, building here rightly. You say, well, if I don't do it, what happens? Well, you'll lose reward. Will you lose your salvation? No. Isn't God gracious? I can't earn it or deserve it. I must simply trust him by faith. Turn from my sin. So that's secure in Christ. But my reward is not secure. A reward is something given because you've done something to earn it. Now, in the broad picture, we understand that I can only do the work of the ministry. We can only do the work of the ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We are of flesh. And anything that happens spiritually in my life happens because God is working in and through me as I obey the Word of God. Again, how do I know that I'm being filled or directed and controlled and empowered by the Spirit of God? The simple question is, are you obeying the Word of God? In every area of your life, are you obeying? If you are, that's the Spirit's work. You can't do that on your own. All right? So it's not necessarily this great emotion. Now, some people get emotional about it, and it's okay. God's wired them that way. It's fine. You know, your preacher's a crier. You understand that. All right? And I hope that some of that emotion is God-directed, God-ordained. It's not just because your pastor's kind of emotional crazy. All right? Make sense? That's okay. So other people aren't that way at all. Does that mean that they're not spirit-filled and I am? No, not at all. The telling question of whether I'm following the Spirit's control is, am I obeying the Word of God? My son Drew is filled by the Spirit when he obeys his dad. Is it that simple? Uh-huh. It is. It's that clear in Scripture. The Spirit of God, the quiet one of the Trinity, can I put it that way? He always exalts Christ, always submissive to the Father, but he is our power. He's the one that's moved in. He lives within me right now. That's amazing. Why would he do that? How can he put up with me? Anyway, okay. And he's the one that empowers me to follow the Lord, always bringing glory to the Father, always hearing the Son. There you go. All right. Now, I'm making it quite simple. And at the end of the day, is this something we can't fully understand? Absolutely, because it's God. Right? He's supernatural. Not natural. He's not like us. He's above it. He's above it. Supernatural. But there is the practical. How do I know that I'm being empowered by the Word of God to do the right thing? Well, when I'm obeying. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Just no other way. And that's when you can evaluate and say, I know that the Spirit's... Now, you say, well, can I be a hypocrite and follow? And then you'll be under conviction and know that you're just being... You're living out a selfish motivation. And by the way, that usually comes out by the fruit. You'll know them. I'll never forget one of those startling moments in my life. I'm in college. First senior year, I think it was. Yeah, I crammed 4 years into five. First senior year. Anyway, all right. That was supposed to be funny. Never mind. Okay. I'm out mowing the lawn at Maranatha, right, and on the mower. I guess it wasn't this way, it was this way. Never mind. Anyway, and my fiance, not Abby, my first wife, right, comes walking out. It's like, what in the world? This is not dating hours. We're going to get in trouble. What are you doing walking out here? And she comes out and says, Dave, I just got saved. I was engaged to a heathen? Anyways, I was. She had played the game for a long time. Guess what? The Spirit of God wouldn't let it happen. Deep conviction. And she knew. She knew that she was a hypocrite. And finally she said, I've got to get this settled. I've got to yield to the Spirit of God. So, understand my whole comment about obeying the Word of God. I realize you can be a hypocrite, but the Spirit of God, to the child of God, won't let that happen long. He'll bring conviction. He wants you real through and through. The outside and the inside need to agree. All right? That's important. You say, well, if it's just the outside, no, it's together. It's the outside and the inside, and the Spirit of God will help you do that. Okay. Now, so in that process, we have these building materials, and what are they? Well, we see, obviously, that they're imperishable. They withstand the fire of the judgment. They are tested, as we know, at the end of verse 15, verse 13, of what sort it is. They're tested for quality, not quantity. Aren't you glad? We mock and make fun of police forces that say, you know, on Friday they're getting all their speeding tickets or meeting their quota for the day. And you say, that's not quality service, that's quantity service. Aren't you glad that God didn't say that you have to lead 10 people to Christ every week or you're a failure? But God did say, I'm to be an evangelist. All right, so there's responsibility there, but not just quantity. He's wanting to, for who you are, what you're doing. All right, understand? So whatever it is that I'm going to be judged for, this building material, the gold, silver, precious stone, that's imperishable. All right? It's quality, not quantity. It will be rewarded. All right? So what then is this imperishable material that's not wood, hay, stubble, that doesn't burn up, that's not, what is it? Well, the context makes it really straightforward. And that's the joy here. And this is where we need to broaden again. Let's remember what Paul's preaching about. He's talking about the work of God that's going on in the church of Corinth that's divided. He said, no, wait a second. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? We're just servants. I planted Apollos, watered. Who? God gave the increase. Are you supposed to be followers of Paul or Apollos or Peter or Christ? Not in the sense of divided. No! So we begin, so Paul is making that very clear. We all have a part to play. What is the qualities of imperishable materials? Well, verse 12. That which withstands the fire is built on the right foundation, Christ. I am not, if I can put it this way, I'm not worldly. I'm Christ-like. You want to stand the test of the Bema? Well then, be like Christ. Stay on the foundation. Individually and as a church. We walk off of Christ. Why is it that we talk about the doctrine of separation here? As it comes up as we walk through Scripture, why do we separate from people that aren't following the Lord? Because I'm going to give account of how my life has stayed faithful to Christ and His teachings. And if I fail either personally or we fail as a church, we lose reward. It's all burned up. I must in every way follow Christ, all right? So you want reward in heaven? Follow Christ. Be Christ-like. What's another quality? Well, we go back to verses 1 through 6 here, the previous passage of chapter 3, and imperishable material creates unity in the church, not discord. So what we strive to do around here in bringing a heart of love and unity among believers, dealing with issues when people don't get along, that's the work that God's called us to do. This place, Heritage Baptist Church and local churches just like us, this place should be a place where we're one. Not 3, 4, 5, 6, you know. Not, you know, you've got your laity and your clergy. No, we're one in Christ, following Him, working towards unity. Now you say, well, I know that there's some problems here. Well, thank you for waking up and realizing that, all right? But we are working towards a unified body in Christ, loving one another, following faithfully together our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And if we have numerous ideas and divisions, especially over teaching and preaching, you know, Paul, Cephas, Christ, we got problems, and that's not rewarded. I must work towards the unity of the church. That's why we pray for it. That's why we talk about it. And by the way, we've enjoyed much of that here. Let's stay faithful to that as we follow Christ. It's not just unity for unity's sake. It's unity following Christ, all right? So that's another quality. And then if I can put it this way, verse 12 again. Let's read it. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, the reality is that the work that I will be rewarded for is a work that is accomplished in and through the local church. Christ was the foundation of the church at Corinth. Verse 11. We are the builders on it. This is how we live it out in our life. And I need to be about accomplishing the work of the Lord here. Now you say, well, there's other good churches. I understand. But you're not there. You're here. That's just a real simple fact. If you're going to be here, well, come on. Jump in. The water's warm. Make sense? And in fact, God will judge me on how I help Heritage Baptist Church build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So that, I get the sense from what Paul is saying here, I need to be all in. Not on the outskirts, not a spectator, but engaged. So may God help us to be, if I can put it this way, that first quality built on the foundation of Christ is spiritual, all right? Unifying is that other quality of that imperishable material. I call this one churchy. All about the church that I'm a part of and the work of the ministry. It's a delight to my soul. I realize I'm a music man. I understand that. And that's part of my gifting and giving. But I love to tell people about what God is doing here musically. I've been in places known where because of God's choices, and I give it to God. God's choices, he's diminished the music skills and abilities in a church family, and so that family has other ways of reaching out and affecting and worshiping God and so forth. I understand. But when I talk about what God is doing at Heritage Baptist Church, I can't help but say that God is doing something here in our worship of the Lord, in our music. And he's gifted us that way. And it's something really cool that God is doing here. God's giving us a unique ministry. When I tell folks that when we hit December at Heritage Baptist Church, it's like concert weekends. And why do we do that? Because we want to feel good about ourselves? Because we want everybody to applaud? Of course not. The first Sunday in December, our concert band Christmas concert. Why are we doing that? Because we want to draw souls to Christ. That's why. Now, in the midst of drawing souls to Christ, as we invite them to come here, how can I describe it? A semi-skilled band. But there's another process. We are edifying those that are in the band. You should come join us on Monday nights and just see what happens. Now, if you play an instrument, we'll let you in, all right? But what happens is there's some unity going on there. I'm learning to love a brother or sister in Christ. Poor Anna sits beside me. She has to put up with all kinds of grief at the tuba player. My wife had to chide me. Oh, it was last year sometime. She says, Dave, you know, when Pastor Caleb stops and he's given us instructions, would you stop playing, please? I'm just over tooting my horn. I'm just having a ball over here in my little corner. It's like I'm bored stiff. It's like, hurry up, Pastor Caleb. Get down. I want to get on with it. So I'm, you know, and I'm usually goofing around. Anyways, okay. And she puts up with it, but then we almost always, just because she, in a sense, she's next to me, it's the way God designed it, we always almost end up always having some kind of spiritual conversation. And my heart comes away often encouraged or challenged, maybe even. I need to work on that. And that's happening in the context of a music ensemble, a band. That's called discipleship. All of life needs to be wrapped around evangelism, discipleship in and through the local church. Why is it? Now you see why we don't support missionaries that aren't directly connected to the church. Because they're going to be judged by the Lord one day about how they built the church. And I want them to receive reward. We had some wonderful discussion with our daughter and son-in-law about Darcy's work. And it caused me to rethink, all right, Darcy's this single girl. She can't be a church planner, can't be a pastor. That's not God's direction. Can she, then is she like on a free vacation in Wales? And so Darcy and I yesterday, in fact, as I'm driving home, we're having a conversation. What are we doing? Tell me again, remind me again, all that happens in your life. And I get off the phone and I'm rejoicing. Guess what happens? Darcy is building rewards in heaven because of all the things that she's doing for Grace Baptist Church, can I say it, of Roslana Krikog. She's helping that church be something that it wasn't if she wasn't there. And that's a good thing. And God's going to reward her one day for that. May we be about it. Let me finish real quickly, all right? And my time is already done, but this passage is precious to my heart. We've read down through verse 15, verse 16. This is Paul's conclusion, and this helps us understand why what I've said is the truth. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? He's talking to the church at Corinth. This is not talking about what he will talk about later, about every individual being the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the church. Ye are the temple of God. Remember earlier on I talked about part of our work is as we build is not just adding, but it's beautifying. You can't think of the word temple, and this is a good word here, without thinking of a gorgeous structure, right? Example, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, Solomon's temple. It was a sight
to behold. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to put stained glass in here and build with... No, we're not talking about the physical structure. You, church family, us, we are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. In a unique way, God in the Spirit is here at this moment in this time. Now, that's a fearful thing and a joyful thing all together wrapped up in one. Fearful, because I don't want to displease Him. I don't want to quench the work of the Spirit at Heritage Baptist Church. And neither should you. Joyful, because I can't worship God right. I can't be the pastor I'm supposed to be. I can't be the Christian disciple of you I'm supposed to be without His help. And I'm glad He's here to help me. The Spirit of God dwells here. And this place, you, before God, should look really beautiful. And that means that you're Christ-like. That means you're unified. That means you're about the work of the ministry here in Heritage Baptist Church. He goes on, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. This place is a sanctuary for God's worship. It's where God dwells in a unique way by His Spirit, empowering us for worship and for service. This place is to be a beautiful beacon to the world as a place where they can find God. Somebody walking off the street today, come into our service, will they say God's here? And will they say that God is glorious and good because of what they see us? And if they don't see that God is here and they don't worship a glorious God, we're failing in our work as a church. We need to be a temple. All right? He gives us that challenging warning in verse 17. You defile and destroy this church, and He will bring ruin to your life. God is very earnest about His name being upheld in His church and His presence being properly worshiped and honored. So, he says then, this temple is holy. It is both its position before God, something set apart separately for Him, and the very character of our church. You know, in this day and age, we often judge a church by its growth, by its friendliness, by its attractive facilities, by the programs that it offers. And we never stop and evaluate, is it holy? Well, God help us. May Heritage Baptist Church, in all that it does and how it lives and how it fellowships and how it heeds God's word, may it without hesitation be called by the world and most importantly by God, holy. That means we're utterly unworldly here. That's our goal and our passion. We are holy. Now, believer, back to the question at the beginning. So what part are you doing? And I say, come on. Let's build the church. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this powerful passage. Help us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of Heritage Baptist Church, to build it properly. May we always stay on the foundation of Christ. May we work to bring peace and love that is supernatural here. May we, Lord, be about helping the church build. Lord, if there's here today those that attending with us, we enjoy having everyone. They are such a blessing in so many ways. Help them, Lord, to jump in. Become an active part and role. Be a blessing to us as we can, with Your help, be a blessing to them. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, they're not even a part of God's family, can no way be a part of God's church. Well, then, Lord, help them today to come to Christ by faith and repentance to receive you and have the joy and blessing of being a part of God's family, that huge body of Christ, and then becoming a part of the local expression of that right here at Heritage Baptist Church. We would rejoice in that. So, Lord, work in our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Believer, let me ask one question. If Christ would come today and you would stand before him at the Bema Seat of Christ, would you receive reward? Maybe the Spirit of God is taking the Word of God today and applying it to your life, and you'd say, Pastor, I see that some of my work, or those things that I consider work for the Lord, is not rewardable work. And I want to make sure that I'm building on the foundation of Christ. I'm working to bring unity, fellowship to this church. I'm about the work of the ministry here. Would you pray that God would help me to have that as a part of who I am before the Lord? Is that your need today? You'd say, Pastor, please pray for me. Amen. Several hands already. Amen. Yes. Amen. Could I be an encouragement? Maybe you're not a member of our church today. Could I just quietly and simply ask, would you like to join? We would love to have you. You know us. Many of you know us well. We're rather common, ordinary people. Our God is great, and that's what we try to exalt and glorify here. Come. Come be a part. Are you here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe today you say, Pastor, I need to start right there. I need to become a part of God's family. Could I pray for you right now? You say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone quietly raise their hand? Would love to pray for you right now. Anyone at all? Thank you, Lord, for your good work. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the application of this passage, even to the work of missions and how we strive to obey and follow you in light of this passage. Lord, may you bless the Kahiwats that are with us today as they go to work, and we'll discover and learn tonight, with fellow missionaries to plant churches in Japan. Would you prosper them in every way? Keep them faithful to what you've called them to do, rightly building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. May we be found faithful here until you come, Lord, building on that foundation, growing each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege and joy it is to be a part of Heritage Baptist Church. Lord, if there's one here today without Christ, draw them to thyself. It's in your name we pray. Amen.